Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it's always a blessing to be able to come to you. Amen. I praise the Lord for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. It's a lot going on. It's a lot going on in this world that we're living in. I want to encourage you to continue to pray for Haiti. They're going through so much over there, and you know, we have to continue to pray for those who have been impacted by the earthquake. It's been almost 2 weeks, over 10 days, and they are still rescuing people. As a matter of fact, I was looking at the news on the internet today, and they mentioned that they were going to halt the rescue efforts. And we have to pray, because they just pulled a lady out yesterday. She was 84 years old, and a 22-year-old man. So people are still being brought up out of the rubble alive. And, you know, only God knows how many more people are trapped under the rubble, the debris, those buildings that caved in Haiti. So this is a devastating thing to happen where you have almost 100,000, I believe it is, almost 100,000 or over 100,000 people dead in a matter of minutes, in a matter of days. They don't even have room to bury all of the people that were impacted by this earthquake. So we need to pray. We need to continue to pray for Haiti. So I'm praying, and I know that you're praying, and together, collectively, the Lord is going to, collectively, our prayers are going up to the Lord. And as we pray, we know that God hears our prayers. And we can know that there's still hope. There's hope because God does work all things out for his good, amen, and for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So there is hope. So continue to hope, continue to pray, and my condolences go out to you. My heart goes out to you if you have family in Haiti, that if you have lost family, or if you have people who still there, because they have to rebuild their lives. So I just want to take a moment to just talk about Haiti and to encourage you all to pray for Haiti. Amen. Amen. And praise God. I want to just move on and begin to talk about our topic for today. I'm going to be coming from some of the topics that I wrote about in my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. In 2003, I wrote this book. Let me see when the copyright is on this book. The Cry of a Woman's Heart. Copyright 2004. So I released it. I wrote it in 2004, and I released it in 2005, The Cry of a Woman's Heart. And you will be able to get information on this book at Amazon.com. Now, while I was looking at my book, I noticed that someone else has written a book with the same title. So you will be looking for the purple book that you see on my show page, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, with the orange rose and the pink envelopes and the locket, The Travel Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. Now, that's a powerful, powerful book. In the acknowledgments, when I did the dedications, I want to read the dedication to you. When I did the dedications of the book, this is what I wrote. I want you to get a feel to what God was doing when he had me write this book. In the dedications of The Cry of a Woman's Heart, it reads, "This book is dedicated to all of the beautiful women out there, even those of you who have not yet realized that you are wonderfully and fearfully made. This book is also dedicated to the good men out there who have stood beside a beautiful woman, loved a beautiful woman, prayed for a beautiful woman, fathered a beautiful woman, been born of a beautiful woman, been a friend to a beautiful woman, or married a beautiful woman. This book is dedicated to my mother, my sisters, my daughters, and my girlfriends. This book is dedicated to my husband, my brother, my father, and my sons. This book is dedicated to my pastor, Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr. And finally, Lord, I dedicate this book to you. Bless it and use it for your glory. Amen. And let me tell you something. God has been using this book to his glory. He's been getting the glory out of this book, and women have been healed. I brought this book to the radio broadcast today because I want you all to know about the Cry of a Woman's Heart. And the Lord wanted to remind me of my ministry. My ministry is to women, not only women, but my ministry is to hurting women. So the Lord wants me to be reminded of what my first ministry is, and it's about being able to come to you to share with you about some of the things that I have gone through and also to minister to you in the areas of some of the things that you are going through now. I have been to New Orleans. The Lord has taken me to New Orleans, to Chicago, to New York, to North Carolina, to different places in Jersey, all as a result of women reading this book and saying, you know what, I need to have her come out. We need to have her come out and minister. And I'm not saying this to give myself any props, but to let you know that God has you, his daughter, on his side. And there are some things that we need to deal with before we can go further in God. See, God wants you as a woman of God to live your life to the point where you are excelling in every single area of your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your finances, in your ministry, in your work, in your business, in everything that you do. God wants you to prosper and be in good health, in good health, even as your soul prospers. So what does this, what am I saying? I'm saying that God does not want you to be bound up by the demons of your past. At the beginning of this book, the Lord had me talk about the secret pain. As a matter of fact, after the introduction, he had me to begin to deal with the secret pain. And I'm going to talk about the Cry of a Woman's Heart, and I'm going to go through the book a little bit and talk about some topics in the book for the next couple of weeks, because I want what God wants and what I want is for you to be totally set free, totally healed, totally empowered, so that you can dare to be, do, and have all that the Lord has called for you to be, do, and have. You see, the Lord has a marvelous plan for your life. So we're going to unveil that plan. If you know some women who are going through, if you know some women who are hurting, if you know some women who are bound up, if you know some women who are on fire for the Lord, who are doing great things in the kingdom of God, any one of those categories, if you, even if you know some women who are looking for their purpose, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to let them know about this broadcast. See, I'm looking for women. I said it last week. I'm looking for women who are looking for me. And I'm here going to do what God has called me to do, and that's to minister through this venue, through this Blog Talk Radio venue, to women everywhere. And God wants me to give you every resource that I can to help you to go to that next dimension in him. So call your girlfriends, email your girlfriends, text your girlfriends, Facebook your girlfriends, I am your girlfriends, MySpace your friends, whatever you have to do, Twitter them, tweet them, and let them know to tune in to Woman, Pastor Rebecca Simmons at blogtalkradio.com/power. Or they can call in to listen. They can call in to listen at 646-652-4832. So call up somebody, let somebody know, because you don't want to keep this to yourself. And if you can't stay, come back and listen to the archive. I'm going to be flowing. I'm going to be flowing over these next couple of weeks and letting the Lord have his way. I believe that somebody's going to be set free. Somebody's going to be empowered. Somebody's going to be set on purpose. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So let somebody know. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on today. God, I give broadcast to you and I say, have your way. Let your will be done. Minister to every woman that comes into this Block Talk Radio broadcast. And Father God, let not one person leave here the same way that they came in. So Lord, I give this broadcast to you and I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. And praise God. Hallelujah. So this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what's going on in your life, just keep a spirit of praise in your heart. Remember to, if you don't even feel it, remember to praise God with your lips. Remember to pray and call out to the Lord, because God hears your prayer. Listen, woman of God, you are very important to God, and you may not be where you want to be in life, but let me tell you something. God has a plan for you, and his plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. His plan is to give you a hope and a future. God has some great things planned for you. That's why you've been through so much in your life. That's why you're going through so much hell right now, because God has a great plan for your life. But don't be discouraged, and don't you dare give up. Don't turn back. Don't let the devil take you out. It's too soon for you to quit. God still has a lot for you to do. And as I'm talking about the Cracker Woman Card, I'm not just talking about this book. This is a powerful, powerful book, and I want you to check it out, written by yours truly, Rebecca Simmons. But you can get it on Amazon. But I'm not here to sell a book. I'm here to minister to the hurting. I'm here to minister to your heart. And you might, you know, the thing about the Cry of a Woman's Heart, when I wrote the book, I was like, God, you got to be kidding me, because the women in Christ that I was seeing, they all looked like they had it together. You know, I was going to the cathedral in Prince Amboy's time, and it was a big church, a very affluent membership, you know, people who were working, people who had jobs, people who had been delivered from welfare and drugs and alcohol. But pretty much when you looked at the women in the church, they looked like they had it together. But the Lord began to open my eyes. That's when he began to reveal to me prophetically that a lot of women were hurting on the inside. Yeah, we can get up, we can do our hair, we can put on our clothes, and we can go about our business. We can put a smile on our face and a praise on our lips, and we can go about our day-to-day business. We can go to church, we can go to work, we can be wives and mothers and businesswomen, but on the inside, so many women are still hurting. And that's what God revealed to me back in 2003, 2004, when I began to write the book. But even now, God is still revealing to me by the phone calls that I get. You can't imagine, because my phone number in the book, you cannot imagine how many phone calls I get from women who say, Rebecca, Pastor Rebecca, thank you so much for being obedient and writing that book, because it's like you know me. It's like you were talking directly to me. So God wants to deal with this, and we're going to deal with it. Let's start with the scripture. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And that's my assignment. God has sent me. So many people say, why do you preach such an upbeat, positive message? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Not necessarily the poor in pockets, those two, but the poor in spirit. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So many of God's women, so many women have been brokenhearted. It's my belief. It is my belief that by the time a woman reaches the age, by the time a girl reaches the age of 10, she has already been through so much in her life. She has already been through something traumatic in her life. It could be seeing her father beat her mother. It could be molestation, betrayal. So it could be so many things, seeing her father with other women, you know, being abandoned by her father, being abandoned by her mother. So many things that we go through as women when we are children that carries over into our adulthood. And if we don't deal with those things, and when you're a child, you do not know how to deal with these adult issues. And if we don't deal with these things, if we don't give them to God, these things will begin to create problems in every area of our lives. We won't be able to have good friendships. We won't be able to have good relationships. You know, the men in our lives will go through all kinds of havoc, all kinds of trauma, all kinds of drama, all kinds of pain and headache, because we have issues. The bottom line is, because of what happened to us in our childhood, we have issues, and God wants us to deal with that. Amen. He wants to deal with that. So this broadcast is for you. No matter how old or young you are, you know, by this point in life, you have already experienced some things that were meant to destroy you. The Bible tells us that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. Jesus came for you to have Zoe, for you to have the good life, for you to have a blessed life, for you to have a life that is free from the hindrance of the pain of your past. God wants to heal you. And even if something didn't happen in your childhood, how many of you have had a broken heart? Have you ever been in a relationship with a man and then he turned around and slept with your girlfriend, or you slept with your cousin? Have you ever been cheated on, lied to? Have you ever been talked about? You know, have you ever been counted out in life? You know, even though we are strong, women are strong. Women are strong. God made women, he outdid himself. And we are some strong creatures. Even though we are strong, what we have to realize is that when things happen to us, takes an effect on us. It has an impact on us because God made us to have emotions. He created us with feelings. So I have feelings. And when we think about growing up, you know, for me, let me just share my testimony before I go forward. For me, it began when I was young. I was 5, 6 years old. And my mother and my father, they used to fight. You know, my father was very abusive towards my mom. And I would hear them fighting in the next room. And that thing, like, broke my heart to hear my parents in there fighting. You know, my father was trying to beat up my mother, but my mother fought back. And that's what I was saying when I say that we are strong. My mother was not going to lay down and just take a beating from my father. So she fought back. And my mother would wear these shades. And I always thought that she was just the coolest mom in the world because she was so beautiful. And she would put on these dark shades. But my mother wasn't trying to be cool. My mother was trying to hide the black eyes. She was trying to hide the pain. And then later on, when I became 10, I was molested by someone close to the family. And that really, really threw me into a loop because here I was only 10 years old, and this man is touching me and doing things to me that no man, no adult man should do to a child. So I had to go through that. Now here I am in my 10-year-old mind trying to process this, you know. And then my sister came to me and told me that she had been, you know, she told us that she had been really, that this man had sex with her. And, you know, all of this stuff. And she was 13 years old. I was 10. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? So my little world was falling apart. So, and I'm not telling you this for you to be sad, because I am a victor. I'm not a victim. You know, the Lord delivered me, He healed me from all of this. But as I was going through the process of trying to deal with what was going on in my life, you know, I became a victim. For instance, my father and my mother broke up when I was about 10, 11 years old. So we got burnt out of our apartment, and we had to go and live in the projects. So as I'm living in the projects, my mom is working and my dad's not there. And, you know, here I am, this needy little girl, this hurt needy little girl who had been molested, who has seen daddy and mommy fighting, who daddy is now gone, so I've been abandoned. And this boy in the neighborhood, he was 19 years old, I was 12, he took a liking to me. He saw me as an opportunity to fulfill the lust of his loins. And I'm thinking he thinks I'm pretty. He's paying attention to me. So I'm flattered, you know, even at 12. You know, and I told people, I have been telling this testimony wrong. I realized last week I did not give him my virginity. This boy molested me because this man, he was 19. I was 12. I didn't even know what sex was. And he took my virginity. He molested me. So I have to tell the testimony and tell it right. I did not give it unwillingly. It was, we were wrestling, and, you know, he was trying to do stuff to me, and I didn't want him to do what he was trying to do. But he ended up doing it. And now I was no longer a virgin, and he made me his girlfriend. So not only did he molest me, but now I'm his girlfriend on the down low. And the same boy set it up for me, for his friends to pull a chain on me. So I'm telling this story because you have to know who's talking to you. You have to know that I've been through something, you know. I mean, I have been through some stuff in my life. And as a result of all of this, I get pregnant. You know, I'm 14, and my mom, you know, takes me to the abortion clinic. So now I have an abortion. I'm only 14 years old, and all of this stuff has happened to me. You see what I'm saying? So here I got to go through life now. You know, I'm an A student in school. So here now I have to go through life of being victimized, because I was a victim of all of this stuff happening to me. So now I have to find a way to function. How do you function with all of this stuff going on? So what do? I turn to marijuana. I turn to alcohol. I turn to cocaine. By the time I'm 18, now I'm introduced to cocaine for the first time. But let me back it up and tell you, I was pregnant again at 15 and a mother at 16. So by the time I'm 18, I'm just a loose, you know, I'm just going from man to man, from relationship to relationship. Not that I was what many would call a whore, but I was giving my body. I was going into these relationships, these 1-2 year relationships, and you know, giving my body to the men that I was in relationship with. And I got pregnant in a serious relationship with my childhood sweetheart, Jimmy, who's deceased now. But I got pregnant. We got pregnant on purpose at 15. And then he went to jail. So here now I have to raise this child. So I drop out of high school and I go on welfare. And then I'm 16 now, and I'm a high school dropout, been abused, been abandoned by my father, been molested, been set up to be raped, and been had an abortion, and now I'm a high school dropout and a teenage mother. My God. God is so good. Let me tell you something. God is so good. But we have to deal with this. Now, did I have pain? Oh, yes. I can tell you I had pain, and I was trying to medicate my pain with the marijuana, with the alcohol, with the relationships. I could not be in a relationship. When I broke up with one man, there had to be another man to replace him. So my relationships would go 2 years, then I would get tired because they could not fulfill me emotionally. No one could fix you emotionally. No one can fix you emotionally. Only God can fix you emotionally. So we always trying to get these men to fix me emotionally, and they couldn't do it. It was impossible. So I would break up with another man and then get it in a relationship with the next man, because there's always a thrill. There's always adrenaline with the new relationship. So if you find yourself going from relationship to relationship, from man to man, or even from woman to woman, for those of you who have been married into the homosexual lifestyle, what you will find and what you will have to realize is that there's some pain. There's some secret pain that you have to deal with. There's a cry. There's the cry of a woman's heart that has to be dealt with, because the drugs and the alcohol, they couldn't fix it either. So here I am at 18 and being introduced to cocaine and partying. So I'm partying, I'm in the clubs, I'm dancing the night away. And I felt good while I was doing these things. But let me tell you something. In the morning, when morning came, you know how the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It was reversed for me. It was joy may endure for a night, but weeping comes in the morning. That's the life I had. I don't know if anybody can testify to that, but that was my life. It was my life. And I went on like this from the age of, 12 into 20 years, 21 years, from 12 until 33 years old. That was my life. But I thank God that at 10 years old, I walked into a storefront church and I heard the preacher preaching that Jesus could make my life better. And my life was pretty bad already at 10. Can you imagine? So I did take the walk down to the altar and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that it was that night. That's why I thank God for storefront preachers. Because it was a storefront church, and that church was open on many a night when I needed somewhere to be, when my parents were fighting upstairs in our apartment, in that apartment building. But I thank God for that preacher who had that church open on that night and spoke to my little young heart at 10 years old, and I took the walk down and gave my life to Christ at 10. But let me tell you something. Even though I never went to church after that, let me tell you, God kept me. It was that confession. It was that time, that walk down to that altar, that man laying his hands on me that kept me, that prayer that kept me all those 20 years, 21 years until I found my way back to Jesus. Amen. So I told my testimony to let you know that there is a very real pain that we experience as women. And we might think, you might think that the people on your job are causing you pain, or that man that you're in relationship with now is causing you pain. You might think that your pain is coming because of some recent heartbreak. But if the truth were to be told, the pain is coming as a result of some unresolved issue from so long ago that has to be dealt with. We have to deal with the pain of our past. And if you don't face it, listen. I want you to tune in. I want you to tune in for the next couple of weeks. I don't know how long God's going to have me do this. But if you don't face it, your relationships won't work. You won't be able to have close friendships. You won't be able to look yourself in the mirror. You will find yourself going from man to man and bed to bed. You will have a hard time having joy in your heart. You have to face the pain of your past. Amen. You have to face it. We have to face it. I can't go forward, even with God. Let me tell you, you might say, well, I'm saved, it's under the blood, God's healed me, but are you really healed? You're healed for real, that's fine. But let me tell you about a woman in the Bible sitting up in the church, and she was bound up with an evil spirit for 18 years. This woman had an evil spirit for 18 years, and she could in no wise stand up. She was crippled that evil spirit had her crippled. And so many of us, we're in church, but we're not free. We're not loose. You know, it was not until Jesus said to her, woman, thou art loose. He called her to him, and then when she came, he said, woman, thou art loose. Be free from thy infirmity. And that's what God is calling you today, to be loose, to be free from thy infirmity. But you need to look at what's making you sick. You need to look at what's crippling you. And you need to say, for sure, you need to be honest with yourself and say, I have pain from my past. I have pain that I never dealt with. I have pain that I need to get to God. I need to get this pain to the Lord. Amen. So if you're hurting today, and the Lord showed me that. I was telling you earlier, and I'm going to take some phone calls. You can begin to call in 646-642-4832 because I want to talk to you. I mean, if you're experiencing pain, if you know what I'm talking about, you can call in. If you need prayer, please call in. If you want to share a testimony that can help somebody else, please call in. Because the Lord, you can think you're healed, but you won't be healed. You're not. You might not be healed. Let me tell you why I say that, and then I'm going to take some calls. I'm going to tell you why I say that, then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to take some calls. Why I say that, when God began to heal me, he didn't heal me. I didn't get healed until I wrote my first book, Nobody's Business. I was writing Nobody's Business, and I was writing a scene in the book about the girl, Clara's and her sister and her mother, and they were having a big argument. They were in it, you know, because Clara's mother favored her sister more so than she favored her. I mean, Clara's mother favored Clara more than she favored her sister. Her sister's life was a mess. Her sister was strung out on drugs. But Clara was the one who seemed to have it together. And Clara's mother loved Clara more than she loved her sister. She always looked down on her sister. And they were having an argument about Clara's father. And I'm writing this thing, and I pushed back from my chair, and I said, no, I'm not writing that. And the Lord dealt with me, and he said, yes, you will. You told me you would write this book because the Lord gave me Nobody's Business to write, too. And that book is a powerful book about a woman working in the crisis center, and she helps other women, but she has a lot of issues of her own. And that was me. That was me. I had an answer for everybody, but I had issues of my own. Can anybody identify with what I'm saying? I had issues of my own. I was all yoked up, bound up, but I had an answer for everybody because I was giving answers, but I was hitting that bottle at night. I was getting something to drink. I was smoking a joint. I was smoking coolies. You know, I was sniffing cocaine because of my issues. Amen. But I just thank God for Jesus, you know. And let me tell you, when I got saved, I stopped. The Lord delivered me from cocaine before I came back to church. He delivered me from marijuana before I came back to church. Because let me tell you, I believe and I know God was still working in my life. But when I went to church, I was still drinking. I was still partying. I was still in fornication. I was in a relationship with this man who told me he couldn't commit to me. I mean, am I talking to anybody? You know, in a relationship with a man who refused to commit, he told me he would always have female friends. He said he doesn't know if he could commit. He didn't know if he loved me. But I was going to make him love me, you know. Come on, somebody. I was going to make him love me. So I'm still in this. So I met this guy in the bar, and he invited me to church. And I went to church, and I gave my life to Christ 3 months later. I rededicated my life to Christ. I got baptized in January of the next year. So then I gave up. I got married a year and a half later. I gave up alcohol. I drank for a whole year and a half, my first year and a half of being saved. Then I gave up alcohol on my honeymoon. Me and my husband stopped drinking on my honeymoon. Then life began. Because when I put down the drugs, now I only have, I'm stuck with one man for the rest of my life, so I can't get rid of him. I'm stuck with him, okay? He can put death to his part. And now I put down the alcohol. So now the smoke begins to clear. All the fog from my brain begins to clear. And wow, I come into the reality that I've been through something and I'm still hurting. Oh, come on, somebody. I was still hurting. I mean, I still had pain that was really gripping my heart, but I couldn't reach for a joint. I couldn't reach for another man. My husband was getting on my nerves, y'all. My husband's son, who didn't want me, my husband's son, who came to live with us when we got married, two boys came to live with us when we got married. One of them didn't want me, and the other one was having seizures. Oh, come on. And then mama skipped the town. We didn't see her for the first year of my marriage. So here I am, my God, having to deal with all of this new pain because my husband and I were not getting along. This man who swore he would love and cherish me and honor me was treating me bad. I mean, he wasn't treating me bad, but we were not getting along. He didn't like me. I didn't like him. And then his kids were getting on my nerves. And then his ex-wife was getting on my nerves. Oh, God. I was getting on my own nerves. And now all of his own stuff starts coming back to my memory. Oh, Lord. I can't drink. I gave up alcohol. Now all I have is Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, who am I talking to? All I have is Jesus now, and I have to deal with this pain from my past. I had nothing to anesthetize it. I had nothing to medicate myself. All I have was Jesus. And let me tell you something right now. Jesus is and was enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus was enough, and he still continues to be enough. Hallelujah. Jesus is enough. All I had was Jesus. All I had was him. All I had was Jesus. I had to lean on the Lord when my husband was getting on my nerves. I had to lean on the Lord when my children didn't want to be bothered with me. And then I had an adult daughter. I wasn't getting along with her. Oh, God. To deal with the pain of my past. And that's what I'm saying. When the smoke clears, when you really give your life to Jesus, I gave up sin. That's all. I gave up sin. I said, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drug. I'm not going to flirt with other men. I'm going to be married until death do us part to this one man. I'm going to try to be nice. I gave up all of the stuff that was helping me to make it through life. And now I had to deal with the pain from my past. So all that came up, the molestation, I had forgotten about it. I had blocked it out. So that came back. And then I had to remember how hurt I was because I didn't have a relationship with my father. Even though my sister had a great relationship with my father, I hated my father as a Christian. Come on, somebody. You ever have hate in your heart and you're a Christian? And, you know, we know that hate is not of God. But I hated the people that had hurt me. Amen. And God had to deal with me. It was not until 7 years until my salvation, when I was writing the first book, that the Lord showed me my pain. He made me write a book, and he showed me my pain. And as a result of that, I was able to see my own pain and let God help me to deal with my pain. Amen. Hallelujah. So somebody out there who's under the sound of my voice, I know what you're going through. God knows. God sent me here to minister to you. He sent me here to tell my testimony, tell my story. And I'm going to be ministering to this area over the next couple of weeks. The cry of a woman's heart, but God hears your cries, and he has not forgotten about you. God knows what you're going through. He knows what you've been through as a child. Let me tell you, God delivered me totally from everything that ever hurt me. He delivered me from drugs and alcohol. He delivered me from men. He delivered me from the pain of that abortion. He delivered me from the pain of the miscarriages and the pain of the failed relationships. He delivered me from the pain of my boyfriend sleeping with my cousin when I was 18 years old. So he delivered me from the pain of rejection by my son, who who loves me today. Amen. He delivered me from the early fights, the anger, the resentment, all of that stuff. Even being mad at my own mother. Amen. Because she didn't do what I thought she should do, but she did the best that she could. He delivered me from the guilt and the shame. God can deliver you from the guilt and the shame. He can deliver you from the guilt and the shame of what you did. God doesn't care what you did, how many times you did it, who you did it with, how good it felt, how bad it felt. He still loves you. The Lord loves you. He sent me here today to let you know that he loves you, that he has a great plan for you, that he's not ever, ever going to leave you. He's not ever going to abandon you. God sent me here to let you know that he's going to heal you, that he has the power. Even though you have been wrapped up with pain, you've been in the church, you've been dressing up, you've been looking pretty, you've been putting on a nice suit, the designer shoes, you got a great job, you have your education, you have your career, you might even have a husband who loves you, you might have a man who loves you, but on the flip side, you might be one who's caught up in the system, you can't get off of welfare, you can't motivate yourself to go out and get a job, you don't feel like you're worthy of the love of a good man, you don't feel like you're worthy to make it in this life, you feel guilty, you feel ashamed because you went out and did some stuff as a result of what happened in your childhood, and today is the first day of the rest of your life, my sister, because God's going to set you free. God is going to set you free. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to pray and take a call. Father God, we praise your holy name. We worship you. I thank you for allowing me to come and minister to the hearts of women everywhere. Lord, I send this word out into the universe. I send this word into the earth realm and say, Lord, begin to heal my sisters. Begin to heal those who have been hurt. Begin Heal those who are listening right now. Heal those who are listening to the archives, Father God. Begin to minister to the hurting areas that they have put under the rug, that they put under the rug. Begin to minister to everybody who's hurting on today, God. Give them hope for their future. Give them joy, God, unspeakable joy. Holy Spirit, begin to minister. Touch my sister right now. Touch the boy, even the man who's been touched. As a little boy, touch the girl who was molested, oh God. Touch the girl who's been beaten. Touch the woman who's been raped, oh God. Oh God, begin to minister. Touch that woman who's been jilted at the altar. Touch that woman who has had one bad relationship after another, oh God. Begin to minister healing to her, oh Lord. Lord, you know, God, oh, you know what she's going through, God. And even as I open up the phone lines, Lord, let your anointing rest in room. Yes, Father God, as the people begin to speak, as people begin to testify, because we know that we defeat the devil, we defeat Satan by our testimony and the blood of the Lord. I plead the blood over the life of every woman that will hear this recording, over every woman who's listening into their airways. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I say, woman, thou art loose. Woman, thou art loose. Be free from thine infirmity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is good and he has you on his mind. You are the apple of his eye. Amen. I have a couple callers here. I don't know if they want to speak. Caller, I'm going to put you in the air. Don't hang up. If you don't want to speak, you can say, I'm just listening. If you have something to say, then I'm opening up the airlines for you to speak. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Area code 786, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. This is Pastor Varian.
God bless you, women of God.
I tell you, you are on the mark today, and you are healing, delivering, and setting free. And you are bringing back to remembrance things in each and every woman who's listening to the sound of your voice, things that God wanted us to deal with and go back and take a look at, some things that, like you said, were forgotten. You didn't even know that, you know, those things still existed as an issue. And as you said that, you know, God dealt with me on a couple of things as you were speaking, as far as being that woman that looks great on the outside but dying on the inside. being the woman that looks like, you know, everything is all together and, you know, I'm going to school and I'm working and I'm partying and, you know, I go out at night and, you know, but I'm dying. I look happy. I look like everything's okay. But on the inside, I was dying. And just like you said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. My joy actually was, like you said, right then, but my weeping actually did come, like you said, the next day, because I still had to deal with me. I still had to deal with how I felt, what I was doing, how I knew, you know, things weren't right. They weren't how I wanted them to be, but yet and still, you know, I've decided that this is what I have to have. And, you know, I would cry every day. And the only person that knew I cried was my son, and he was a baby at that point. So, you know, he would come and, you know, God shows you how much love and mercy and grace he has for you through children.
Yes.
Because even though they don't know why they're hugging you, even though they don't know why they're rocking you and consoling you like a parent would a child, he had my son ministering to me, and I didn't even understand, like, wow, like, this is something beyond a child.
Yes.
You know, but he was actually, look, mommy, it's all right, don't cry. You know, drying, I mean, the child was actually touched by God, and he was ministering to me, not through word, but through deed, through action, through what he was doing, and was meeting me at my point of need where I was. And he was using my child to do that for me. Nobody knew on the outside that I went into my room every day and cried like a baby. I mean, bawled. But people would have never known that from the outside in, because if you see me come out my room, I'm happy, I'm laughing, I'm joyful, I'm playing around, I'm, you know, having a good time. But on the inside, I was losing it. I was so far from sanity that, you know, it was just a matter of time that God stepped in and said, hey, okay, now enough is enough. We're going to work from here on out.
Amen.
Enough for you. We're going to work from here, and we're going to bring you into the place where you need to be. It's time out for this stuff here. I don't wink at this long enough, right?
Yes.
I have enough of this right here in your life. And even as you were speaking just now, you know, you brought back to remembrance some things that I did as a child as a result of some things that were happening to me that I did to my sister, some things that, you know, I resented her because she had a father, and her father came around, and her father took care of her, and her father's father and family were there for her, and they supported her. But I didn't have that in my own father's family because my mother had an issue with my father at the age of 12 years old, which is when she had me. She had me really, really young. Yeah. And, you know, he didn't treat her how she wanted to be treated, and as a result of that, that shattered her whole world. And as a result of that shattering her world, that shattered my world, because she didn't like him. She didn't want to be around him. You know, he wouldn't be the man that she wanted him to be, so he could not really be in my life. His family really couldn't be in my life. And then my uncle, he, it was almost to the point where he was going to molest me, but then God stepped in and made sure that that did not happen.
My God.
And so I was so grateful because of that, because that probably would have took me somewhere so far off that I would not have been able to come back from it.
Yes.
But God stepped in, and it didn't happen. And when I went to my father's family's house and told them what happened, I was never allowed to go back.
And this was
to their house.
Uncle on your father's side?
Right. I was never – no, this was my uncle on my mother's side.
Wow. And when you told them what happened with your uncle on your mother's side, the people on your father's side didn't allow you to come back?
No. They went to my mother and told her what I told them, and my mother would not allow me to go back to my father's family.
Wow.
Because she didn't want to believe it. She didn't want to deal with it. You know, and that's how people sweep family stuff under the rug.
That's good.
All the time.
That's good. That's good.
And so as a result of that, I wasn't allowed to have that relationship with my father's family. And then even, you know, years later, coming back, and you were speaking to me again. I was raped also. You know, you were speaking to me on that issue.
My God, to God be the glory.
You were speaking to me on that issue too. And so, you know, when I went back, I finally got a chance to really speak to my father. And because he was on drugs, you know, his mind wasn't right, and he wasn't really telling me the truth about half of anything. But, you know, I did get a chance to actually speak with him and go around to their house. But then again, you know, I left there and wasn't able to see them for years on end again. And so growing up this whole time, I did resent my mother. I didn't hate her, but I resented her for not allowing me to have the relationship that my sister had with her father's family. And not allowing me to grow up with them and not allowing me to have that support system that she wasn't giving to me. Yeah. And she wasn't being the mother that I needed, nor did I have a father. And that caused a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of bitterness. You know, I really can't tell that I really liked her. I loved her, but I didn't really like her. You know, I didn't really like the person that I saw, the person that I knew, you know, because she was not home and she had, you know, so many different men. And, you know, she said so many things that, like the Bible says, Jesus kept telling people, you hypocrites, you say this, but you do this. I saw so much of that in her, you know, till that kind of had me, you know, twisted in my own little mind about what was right and what was wrong. And so, you know, it was a lot, just a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of resentment, even, you know, towards my sister who, you know, she didn't have anything to do with what was happening. She had no control over anything, and I resented her for no reason. You know, she's a child, and you can't resent a child for the things of an adult, but I did because that was the only person, you know, that I could put my anger off on.
Exactly, yes.
The only person that I felt safe, putting my anger on. You know, it's your fault, and, you know, if I just had, you know, what you had, and, you know, if I could just have the family that could be around, and, you know, if you would just let me be with my family, my father's side, you know, things would have been a whole lot different for me. That was my thought pattern and process, not really understanding and realizing how much she was hurting and dying inside from something that happened to her at 12 years old. And bit by bit, God was revealing those things to me. And I said, wow, you know, look how one thing that happened to you can govern your whole life. And it can govern the choices, the decisions that you make, the love that you give, because you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah.
And I had to realize that for myself. She couldn't give me what she didn't have to give me. And she didn't mean to be the person that she was, but she couldn't get past the things that she had been through. She didn't know how to be anybody other than the person that she was. And I wanted from her what she didn't have to give and what she did not know how to give. And God began to deal with me and work with me years later to realize she had a hard life. And she didn't really understand the things that she was doing to me, the things that she was saying to me. This happened even up until the point where I was an adult a couple of years ago, you know, still going through things with her and, you know, still having that faith. And you know what? She can change. She's going to be a better person. God's going to, you know, work with her. I still had that faith, and I have it right now. And it's as strong as ever because God can work on anybody. He can change anybody. He can deliver anybody, heal them, and set them free. But you got to let go of those feelings that you feel towards them because it stagnates you. They go to sleep every night peaceful. They don't go to sleep thinking about that stuff that they did to you. Or that they allowed to happen to you. They go to sleep and they go to sleep.
Exactly.
It's us that sit back and go through it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Amen. No, I don't want to. Go ahead. Go ahead. Because you're speaking. Amen.
You know, it's us that go through it, like you said. It's us. Every night, it's us the one that's crying. And it's us the one that's still thinking about that stuff. They're not even thinking about any of that.
Yes, and you said something so key, you know, when you were talking about, you know, even your mom and what she went through. You and I have such similar stories because, you know, I told you I resented my mom. I was saying earlier that I didn't like her. You know, I loved her, but I didn't know if I liked her. And I was angry with her, but the same realization that you had, my mom had a rough life. And she had a rough life, and she went through a lot in her life. I mean, can you imagine being beaten by your husband? Can you imagine having him, knowing he has other women? Can you imagine being abandoned by him? Well, you live in the projects, and he's living in the house with the woman across town. But that was the first bad relationship. She lost both of her parents at an early age. Her parents split up when she was a child. So what we have to understand is that there's a pattern. You know, there's a pattern, and it is called generational original curses. You know,
right.
And the curses have gone through the generations where it repeats itself. And even when you watch stories about molestation, when you watch these movies, I think about T.D. Jakes' Woman Thou Art Loose. The woman said, well, it happened to me, and I got over it. She'll get over it just like I got over it. So how many of our mothers were molested? How many of our mothers were raped? I mean, I'm talking about the victim of molestation and rape.
Right.
How many of our mothers, they're women too, how many of them had to go through what we went through? And we went through what we went through. Can you imagine what they went through? You know, and back in the day, like you said, when everything was quiet, don't tell nobody. What goes on here stays here. You know, everything was swept up under the rug, kept it within the closed doors, kept in the hearts of the people who were involved, that guilt, that shame. You walk with it, but don't tell nobody about it. You know, and don't reveal the perpetrator. My God, you know, my greatest guilt that I would carry, if the Lord allowed me to carry guilt, is that I didn't tell on the perpetrator sooner. Because what you think about, what you have to think about, is that now he has the opportunity to molest other women, to molest other girls. So, you know, thank God somebody told. But,
right.
You know, I didn't tell, and I carried that guilt. I carried that shame. Like, why didn't you tell? But, I mean, for God's sake, I was 10. You know,
right.
How do we process? And that's what we were talking, and I thank God for you, Pastor Variance, because somebody's being healed by that testimony that you just gave. Because we're talking to women who are little girls, and what you have to realize is that as a little girl, there was really nothing you could do.
Right.
You know, now looking back, you have the wisdom to know I could have told somebody. But back then, you were just scared. Who do I tell? And look what happened when you did tell, Pastor. You were ostracized. You were taken away from people that you loved, that
right.
you wanted to have a relationship with.
Right. And God led me to speak this also. I don't know who it's for. You know, like I said before, I was raped at about, I think I was 11 or 12. Probably 12 on the dot, and I was raped by a couple of boys. It wasn't one. It was a couple of them. And so they had them, you know, made their whole little plot to rape me, and, you know, me not knowing. I'm a young girl. You know, we're so naive, you know, and not knowing we're naive. But we're so naive as children, and that's why older boys or older men take advantage of us, and we don't realize that we're being taken advantage of. So this guy, I would see him on my way to the store, and of course I had on my little hot pants and, you know, my little halter top, and, you know, I'm thinking I'm doing something here and just as ignorant can be, but you don't know that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going back and forth to the store, and, you know, I see him, and he's talking to me, and, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, this guy likes me, all right, you know, because you don't know any different than what you see.
Exactly.
You don't know any different from that. And so, you know, I recognize that he's recognizing me, and he's like, oh, you want to walk to my house with me? And I'm like, cool, okay, so I know where you live, and, you know, we can talk. And God knows he had already saw me and had already planned this in his heart to do to me. When we walked to his house, there was a little shed by the side of his house. And he's like, well, this is where where I'm at in this little room back here. And I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, you got your own little spot back here, you know, where you're not bothered by the adults. You know, and he's like, yeah, let me show you where it's at. So I was like, oh, okay, naive as I want to be. As soon as I went back there, there were four guys. It was either three or four guys waiting in there for him to bring me there so that they could rape me.
My God.
And so they did. And, you know, I didn't scream because they told me not to scream and that they would hurt me. And it's like four or five guys. And I'm not going to scream when you have that many people who are threatening your life.
They
had hammers and all type of stuff, you know, in the little tool shed, and you know, threatening to bash me in my head, and you know, so they did what they did to me, and I left. I went home. I told my grandmother. She called the police. She called my mother. My mother came. The police came, and that's where my nightmare began, because what she told the police was that I was lying. That those four boys never raped me, four or five, I can't remember, it's either or, that they never raped me, that I was lying because I went to the store and I didn't come back on time. And because I didn't want to get in trouble with my grandmother, I didn't tell the truth. Well, my grandmother was on dialysis. And if any of you know people who are on dialysis, they're not strong people. because their body is broke down. So, you know, the thought of my grandmother actually beating me and doing something to me would not have rattled me because she couldn't hurt me. You know, there was not much that was going to actually happen from me telling her the truth about what happened. Or let's say I lied and came back and was like, oh, you know, there was nothing that would have happened to cause me to lie about four or five boys raping me because she was too weak to actually do anything to me anyway. And so the policeman was like, yeah, she's lying, and, you know, she just doesn't want to tell the truth, and she wanted it, and, you know, because the boys didn't probably, you know, give her any money or something like that, that, you know, now she's saying that they did something to her. And let me tell you something, this is for somebody. That policeman called me some of every name in the book. I was a 12-year-old child. And he told me how I was a slut, a whore, a tramp, a trick. I mean, he called me everything in the book, told me how I was lying and how I wanted it and how, you know, I'm just mad because none of them wanted to be with me. And, I mean, I was so far in the muck at that point in time after having somebody violate me, four or five people violate me.
Yeah.
And then to sit there and my mother not believe me and call me a liar to my face and tell the policeman that I was lying, and he called me a liar, slut, tramp, trick. And I'm saying nice words right now. I'm not saying the curse words that he was actually saying to me as a child at 12 years old after being raped. And so he said all this type of stuff to me, and I went back, and she didn't believe me. And so they finally took me in the ambulance to the hospital, to the trauma center, the rape treatment center. And it wasn't until the people checked me out, they came back to the room and said, ma'am, she was raped.
My God.
It wasn't until then till she said, I'm sorry. You were right. And I can tell you something right now. She didn't say she was sorry because she was actually sorry. She said it because she found out I was telling the truth.
My goodness.
And so I walked around with that for a long time. You know, I could not deal with her, talk to her. I mean, we had real issues because at the weakest point that I was in my life, not only did you not believe me, but you called me a liar to my face after being raped by four or five men. And then you told this man that I was a liar. And then this man called me every name in the book, told me how filthy and dirty and nasty and slutty I was and all type of stuff. Now, that caused trauma so far up in my mind that I could not even imagine. And so I resented her for that also for a long time. I mean, it was, you know, beyond the point of forgiveness because she was not actually sorry for what she said and what she did. And the only reason for saying sorry was for me to feel better about what she had already done.
Right.
And so I couldn't accept that. And as a child, I didn't know. You know, you don't have revelation of what you really need to be doing. And so I couldn't accept that from her. And I dealt with that for a long time. You know, like, you know what, lady, you were not there for me. You know, you even in my deepest, darkest moment, you were not there. That really, like, shattered my whole world. You're my mother. You're the person that's supposed to love me. If nobody else in the world loves me, you're supposed to love me.
Yeah.
If nobody else in the world takes care of me or likes me, you're supposed to be there. And that shattered my world. And I know there's some woman out there right now that I'm hearing this story not from my own account, for you, because you felt just like that when that mother or that father was not there for you as a mother or father should be. That shattered your whole world. And as a child, you can't process that right. You can't understand the things that are happening to you or around you. But it's okay. God revealed those things to me. He healed me. He delivered me. He set me free. And for a long time, Pastor Rebecca, I felt that she had power over my life. I felt that there was nothing I could do about it until God spoke to me one day and said, she don't have no power. You're giving her power.
Yeah.
You gave that to her. She doesn't have anything. When she sits and laughs in your face, she's laughing because you don't have the knowledge that tells you that she's not in control.
My God. My God.
And for some woman that their mother or father told you that you should never be here, that you would never grow up and be anything, that you should never have anything, that they were sorry that they ever had you or that you ever came into play, that they were going to abort you and you should have never been here. But thanks be to God that they're not in control of this world.
Yes.
That's what God wants you to know. Thanks be to God that they're not in control of this world. Because it was meant for you to be here. You're not going to be nothing. You're not going to be whatever they told you you were going to be. You're not the filthiest, lowest of the low. You are, like Pastor Rebecca said, the apple of God's eye. And he loves you. And like the word of God tells us, what God has to show to me, I'm a father to the fatherless and a mother to the motherless.
Yes.
If you don't have it in this earth, you have it in me. I'm your heavenly father. I created you. I am your mother and your father.
Yes, my God.
It's not just because of that sperm that was released into that egg that you're here. I knew you before you were ever even formed in that womb.
Yes, my
God. So it's God that brought you here.
Mm.
Not just mommy and daddy. It's God that birthed you into them and into this world.
Yes, yes,
and that's
yes.
the real reason you're here, and you were not going to be aborted. You were not going to be abandoned. God has always been there with you and for you, and he just wants you to get up. As Pastor Rebecca said, woman, you are loose. You are healed, delivered, and
Hallelujah.
Set free. Get up and take your rightful place.
Mm.
You are a queen in God's kingdom.
Amen.
Get
Hallelujah.
Up and sit on your throne.
Get up. Get up, woman, my God. Get up, woman of God, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, girl, woman of God, you just spoke. You just spoke out there, healing into the atmosphere, into the earth realm, and women are being set free. I tell you, God had a plan today when he had us come on here. He told me to do the cry of a woman's heart. And I did not know, I hadn't seen you in a couple of weeks, and I did not know if you or anybody would be here. But, you know, we have to be obedient. And I believe that God has really, this is a strategic time in this season where God wants to free up women totally, because you and I know what it's like to walk around bound, you know, by Satan. You know, that's really what it's about. Satan had us bound, but God set us free. He loosed us, you know, with his power. And are you healed, woman of God? Has the Lord totally healed?
I am totally free. Even when you were speaking and I was, and God was bringing back to remembrance the things that I used to feel about my sister, the things that I used to feel about my mother, and showing me, look at what I did for you. Look at how I brought you out of those situations. Look at how I picked you up. I dusted you off. I washed you in the blood of my only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And then I set you firmly in the foundation of who I am, not who they told you you were, not what they said you couldn't be, but who I said you am, because I birthed you into this world to be who I called you to be. You will be that person. Nothing that they said is going to stop you from taking your rightful place. Just stand up and take it.
Yes. Hallelujah. My God.
And I'm grateful and glad that he spoke to me, that he healed me, and that he's still working on me right now, not in the healing area of those things in my life, but in the healing area of me getting to the point where I'm fully and totally confident in everything I do and in everything that I say. And a lot of people won't be that bold and honest about it like me and you, Pastor Rebecca, but they're dealing with those issues right there. It's not saying that you're not confident at all, but your confidence is not at the level where God wants it to be.
That's right.
He's building it and working on it, and he's bringing you into that level where you'll stand there like Jesus and tell that demon devil or Satan himself, get behind me. Get behind me.
Well,
I'm not afraid of you. Get behind me.
Go ahead. Ooh, I tell you, well, that's going to be in the future broadcast. We definitely will be touching on that. And the Lord wanted me to stop from here. This is the beginning. I know I've been called back here to minister to women everywhere, every single walk of life. So I just thank God for you joining me today, Pastor Barry. We have stopped streaming, but I wanted to go forward with the archive, because I get a lot of archive listeners. You know, I know my audience is not Blog Talk Radio primarily.
Right.
I have a network, and I want to just give a shout out to Christian Women of Power. yes. on Rise with 500 plus women. And those are the women that,
amen,
hallelujah, those are the women that God's going to send back to listen
yes.
to this archive and on Twitter and on Facebook. Those
yes.
people are coming back, and they will hear this archive. And if you're one who is here in the archive, know that God strategically placed us here for you.
Yes.
This is
yes.
your Kairos time.
Yes.
This is the set time in your
yes.
life. God's due season for you
yes.
to get up out of your bed of affliction.
Yes.
Amen. And if you're not a Christian, God wants you to know him through his son, Jesus Christ. And all
yes.
you have to do, if you, I know you feel the anointing, woman of God. I know you feel that anointing.
Yes.
And God wants you to just tap in to this anointing and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Just like he changed my life, just like he changed
yes.
Pastor Darius' life, he can change. Not only can he, but he will change
yes.
your life. He will take away all that stuff. You think you might need a joint. You think you might need some cocaine. You might need
yes.
some alcohol. But with Jesus, all you will need is Jesus. You heard me say, all I had was Jesus.
That's
and
it.
He stripped me down to the point where I couldn't even depend on myself. All
yes.
I had, all we had was Jesus,
yes.
Pastor Darius.
Yes.
And
yes.
we offer that same Jesus to you today, my
yes.
sister. Take him up on his word
yes.
where he will make your life brand new. And all you have to do is believe in your heart that he is the Son of God. He came, he lived, he died, he rose from the grave with all power
yes.
in his hand. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding,
yes.
praying for you, praying
yes.
for you to receive him on today. He's saying,
yes.
I pray that she will receive me on today because I have some things that I want to do in her life. I want to heal her.
Yes.
I want to set her
yes.
free. I want to put
yes.
her on purpose. I want to use her for my
yes.
glory. I want to
yes.
bless her.
Yes.
I want to bless her. God wants to
yes.
bless you. But he can't do it as long as you're holding on to that pain from your past. God has heard your cry, woman of God, and he
yes.
wants to heal you. So all you have to do is say,
yes.
Lord, here I am. Just
yes.
as I am. Come just as you are. Don't try to get
yes.
cleaned up. We don't catch fish and
yes.
we don't clean them and then catch them. No, God
yes.
says you got to come in and he will help you to
yes.
clean up every area of your life. You might be ashamed
yes.
of some of the stuff you're doing. You might be swinging around a pole somewhere. You might be caught up in homosexuality. But
right.
God wants to heal you. You might be
yes.
cursing out your husband every night. But God
yes.
wants to heal you. You might have low
yes.
self-esteem like Pastor Barry's talked about. But God wants to heal you. Amen. So why don't
yes.
you come to Jesus and let him change your life. Jesus is the answer. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So pray this. Just pray, God, come into my life. I'll come
yes.
to you. I repent of my sins.
Yes.
Lord, I need you. I believe in Jesus. I believe him, and I want him to be my Lord and Savior. Come to my life. I don't want to live like I've been living. God, come
yes.
into my heart. I receive you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I receive you, Jesus. I receive you. And the Holy Ghost is coming into your heart. If you prayed that prayer, I baptize you right now with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. With the Holy Spirit for power and anointing to allow God to help you be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Varius, my God, who knew? Powerful
yes.
goodness, Lord. She was on the chat and she was just praising God. So I thank God for her, Minister
yes.
Rosalind Jennings, who was with us earlier. She didn't call in, she was just chatting, but you were going. I couldn't
yes.
interrupt the flow. But she said, thank God for healing, deliverance, and forgiveness. And,
yes.
you know, she was just saying, hurting people do hurt people.
Yes.
So, and I know she has a testimony, but she said that we have to get to the root of the problem and
yes.
have compassion for each other.
Yes.
So, you know,
it wasn't
thank
until
the Lord.
Point when God really revealed those things to me that I understood. You
yes.
know, and he's still right now revealing things to me, not because I'm hurting or not because I'm bound, but because he, like he said, in his word, you have not because you ask not. If you
yes.
really want to know the reason why some things have happened
huh.
in your life, or why he's allowed things, or what was the reason why this happened this way, he'll tell you. And so he's
yes.
still right now revealing things to me, saying, listen, my daughter, she doesn't know what she was doing. She didn't know the impact. She doesn't know
huh.
the impact of the recent things
thank
that
you.
Did happen. But because you know me, and you love me, and you love her, that's why you can pray for her. That's why you
yes.
can, you know, send praises up to me and worship me so that I can heal her and deliver her and set her free. But a person that's bound can't pray for somebody that did something wrong to them. A person that's still hurting will not be able to stand up and say, God, please forgive her, Father, for she knew not what she was doing. When you come to that realization of what Jesus was saying, he was saying, Father, they don't know. They don't understand. Okay, physically, yes, you know physically I'm doing this, but you really don't understand what you're doing. Yeah, you know you're saying this, but you really don't understand what you're saying. And it's so many wounded men and women because mothers and fathers have done things and said things without understanding how you have impacted somebody else's life and how they don't want to repent, really, and they don't want to acknowledge the sin that took place because a lot of things that happened in my life, that happened in your life, Pastor Rebecca, were a direct result of the things that happened to us. And people don't want to take responsibility for the things that they did and the things that they said, and so they don't have any blame. There's nothing wrong that they did. You did the wrong, or you were the child, or you didn't understand, or, you know, but when God loves on you, you get to the point where you're like, you know what, God, I understand that they don't understand.
Yes.
And I understand that they didn't know they were being used by the devil, that he sent them to try to attack you like Judas tried to attack you, Jesus. Judas had no idea of really what he was doing. He really did not know. You see, when he really came into the realization, he hung himself.
Yes.
He could not deal with what he did.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. And we're going to deal with that even going forward to be able to show you where it's coming. We're going to break every yoke. I'll tell you. I highly recommend for the listeners to buy The Cry of a Woman's Heart. That book is ministry. It's ministry between the pages, and it's available at Amazon.com. You can get it from my show page. Just go to the show page and click on the book. Again, I was saying that this book is healing women across the nations. I dedicated this book back to God and asked him in the dedication to use it for his glory because I know it's not about me. It's not about Pastor Varian, but it's about you and all the other women out there who need to be set free. The devil has yoked us up long enough. So next week, I'm going to pick up on this topic, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, and I'll be dealing with another one of the issues that I have outlined in the book. But I really, really appreciate you, Pastor Valerie, because you have an anointing on your life. Woman of God, I've heard you before. But let me tell you something. This is an area where the Lord is going to use you, and he has used you today mightily. I don't go into overtime on this broadcast, but because of what I saw the Lord doing, because I saw chains literally falling off of women, I saw yokes being broken. I see women falling down on their knees crying because finally somebody can relate to what they have been through. And your testimony has broken the chains off of the lives of so many women. And you must go forward. To God be the glory. You must keep speaking up. Do not shut up. See, now I see why you've had so many attacks against your ministry. See, because this is the part, this is what God, healing and deliverance, setting people free, transparency, compassion, zeal. This is what the Lord is looking for in this season. We could patty cake all day long. We could go and preach and get a text and preach 3 points and a hoop and a holler all day long. But when we get down to the real root of it, that's when all the gates of hell will try to prevail against the ministry. So I just want to encourage you, woman of God, you have to do this. You have to do this. You have to minister to hurting women. You can relate and let them know where you're coming from. Because if they don't know where you're coming from, they'll just think you're some arrogant, snobbish woman who's talking down to them. But let women know, I've been there, done that. I'm not going back, but I am coming back. I'm not going back to that old behavior, but I have to come back and strengthen my sister, strengthen my brother. You know, pull you up out of the muck and mire. I'm pulling you out in the name of Jesus. And you did that today.
Oh, God bless you, oh my God. I only did what I felt the Holy Spirit pulling me and leading me what I needed to do. Because you know what?
Jesus.
He said to me in my spirit, you know, just like what he was saying to you, so many women are bound and so many women are in chains and so many women are not set free because the devil tells them, if you tell anybody what you've been through, they're not going to like you. If you tell anybody what you used to do, they're going to talk about you. If you tell anybody what you used to do, they're going to be gossiping about you. People are going to be all up in their business. They're going to look at you funny. They're going to, you know, send dirty messages or tell everybody your business, and now it's all over the world. Keep keeping you bound by you keeping it in.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And we're going to, that's it. And we're going to close on that point because I do have another appointment. But
he is keeping you bound.
You just said something. I mean, your words are powerful, just powerful. You know, he's keeping you bound by you keeping it in. Silence is not golden. Your testimony and the blood of the Lamb is going to set you free and set so many others free. So I just appreciate you. I thank you, Pastor Variance, for calling in. You're always a blessing, but today God just used you in another way. And I will be back next week. Join me next week right here at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Woman to Woman, the Cry of a Woman's Heart. And tell some women about this broadcast. Tell them to tune in. I don't just want the Block Talk. I said it last week. I Block Talk Radio listeners, please come. But more than that, because most of us are hosts, we have our own shows. You come, you call in. You need to be healed, please come. Or if you like listening, please come. But more than that, we got to reach out to the nations. We need to reach beyond the portal of Block Talk Radio. And that's what we're doing. We're setting the world on fire. Pastor Barons, you can hear her on her own broadcast right here on Block Talk Radio. For those who are listening, coming in from Vibes, coming in from my Facebook, I definitely will support and actually promote this woman of God. Her broadcast is right here, blocktalkradio.com/ Pastor Variance, B-A-R-I-A-N-C-E. So that's blocktalkradio.com/ Pastor Variance. And when you go there, you'll see her show times and everything like that. But tune in, because she has the word of the Lord in her mouth. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Variance.
God bless you as well. And I thank God for releasing you and revealing to you, and I thank God for you being in place and being on assignment, because if it's not for you and other people like us who are in place and on assignment, people miss their mark because we're not in place.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
God bless
you. May he continue to reveal to you, to increase you, to give you more love, joy, peace, happiness, a sound mind. May he continue to increase the relationship that you have with your husband, your children, your ministry, and may he just reveal himself to you in a brand new, fresh new way each and every day that you wake up. He spoke to me. He said, we have a new beginning every day. Leave yesterday behind and live today. Live the new beginning for today and see all of that love and joy and mercy and peace and happiness and life. Love of life that he has for you and finances that are coming your way. I see checks continuously coming your way.
I
see people giving over into your ministry. I see men and women giving into your bosom. I see your ministry expanding, and you're going to need a new building soon because you're not going to be able to hold all of the people that are coming in. God sending them in like he sent them in the book of Acts, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, and you're not going to have a big enough building for all the people that need to be in your congregation. So I see you expanding, and I see you rising to the occasion and being that woman of that power of the hour that will reveal, heal, and set and deliver so many hurting men and women and bring them into the body and love on them and feed that God's flock, how Jesus really wants them to be fed. So I just thank God for what he's showing to me and for what he's given to you, and I thank God for you receiving and for being obedient and just loving on God's children how God loves on you. I thank God for you.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I receive it. And Father God, I praise you and I magnify your name. And we worship you on today, Lord. And I pray right now, Father God, for my sister, Pastor Varian, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for her life. I thank you for her testimony, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you have allowed her to come through, Father God, even that you allowed it to happen, oh God, because you knew, Lord, when you were molding her, what it is that you wanted her to have within her characteristics, Lord, so that she would be able to come out and minister to your children to be you. For your glory. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you did not let this take her out, oh God. But, Lord, even as a result of everything that she's been through, as a result of what has happened to you, to her, Lord, I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for grace. I thank you for mercy. I thank you for restoration, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing that is on her life, Father God, to break every yoke, Father God, off of the lives of those who are bound. So, Lord, Father God, even now, Father God, with her relationship, even with her mother, Father God, thank you, Lord, for what you're yet doing. And I continually pray, I join and touch and agree with her, Lord, that her mother's soul will be saved, Father God, that she will be set free, Father God, from the bondage, Father God, from the of Satan, oh God. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord, that you, Father God, are able to do everything, that your arm is not too short and your power is not limited, God, but nothing is impossible with you, oh God. So, Lord, thank you for her marriage, God, and even what you're doing in her family relations, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that for total healing, that you have healed her totally, God. And even now, Lord, that you would give her more power, that you would give her more boldness, that you would give her more anointing, oh God, to go forth and do what it is that you have told her to do, God. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even against every enemy, Lord, that every wagging tongue shall be silenced, oh God, and that you have you are preparing a table before her in the presence of her enemies, oh God, and that she shall live and see the salvation of the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you will allow her to even see you as you deal with the wicked, as you deal with those who have despitefully used her, Lord. So thank you for her heart. Thank you for her zeal. Thank you for her passion, oh God. Thank you that she does have the passion of Christ, oh God. So, Lord, we give her, I give her to you, Lord. I thank you for her ministry. I thank you for blessing her ministry, 30, 60, 100-fold, God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just give this broadcast to you and pray for every woman who has listened on today, God. Even those who were here for a minute, those who were here for 10 minutes, those who came and listened to the whole archive, bless that woman of God right now. Bless her cry. The one who's crying, God. Dry every tear, oh God. Oh God, let her know, Father God, that you have a great plan, that she is wonderfully and fearfully made. Let her know, God, that she is somebody in her sight, that they call her whore, they call her prostitute, they call her loose, oh God. They call her dirty, they call her slut, oh God. But I thank you, Lord, that none of these names can stick, Father God. That what they call her is not what she is, God. That she is truly a queen. She's a royal priesthood, a woman of God, being used for your glory, oh God. With great plan that you have before her life, oh God. So I thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to be used for your glory during this hour. And we give this broadcast to you, God. We submit it and surrender it to you, God, knowing that the results will be magnificent, that women will be saved, that men will be saved, that people will be set free, God, that girls will be saved, God, that they'll be able to go and tell mommy, they'll be able to tell a school counselor that they're being molested, that they're being touched, that they're being beaten, oh God. So, Lord, that they've been raped, oh God. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we just praise your name, God. And we declare healing across the nation. We declare healing across the nation. Woman, thou art loose. Woman, thou art loose. Man, thou art loose. You are loose. Be free. Be free. Be free in the name of Jesus. Receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Be free. Be free. Be free in Jesus' name. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Barris, I will see you next week.
Oh, God bless you. I'll see you next week. Yes.
Serve the Lord. Amen. And God bless you to all of our listeners. We love you. I love you, Pastor Varys. I know she loves you. You can see she loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. Go. Pastor Anthony loves you. And if you need a church home, we invite you to come over to New Creation. If you're in New Jersey, New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. And our service times are 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday morning at 7:30 p.m. every Wednesday night, and we have prayer every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. So we invite you to come. Amen. Go to my website at nccmonline.org and see what's going on in the life of our church. So we'll see you next week. God bless you. Go and serve the Lord. Amen and praise God.
Amen.
Amen.